next on the 5 o'clock report.
I was inspired because of Rush Limbaugh.
This is clearly a storm of historic proportions.
The perfect storm of circumstances converged to bring us to the point we are in today.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. More snow and ice on the way. Starts late tonight south of I-80 in central Pennsylvania, then moves north through the day tomorrow. Should wrap up early Friday. Central and eastern Pennsylvania going to see the bulk of precipitation from this storm. One of the most influential voices on the radio was silenced today.
With talent on loan from God.
Rush Limbaugh's lost his battle with lung cancer. His wife, Catherine, announced his passing on his daily radio program.
He loved you, and he loved this radio program with every part of his being. I know all of you listening are terribly sad. We all are. I'm terribly sorry to have to deliver this news to you.
Limbaugh was honored a year ago with the Presidential Medal of Freedom during Donald Trump's last State of the Union address. Trump today appeared on Fox to talk about his friend.
He was fighting till the very end. He was a fighter.
Limbaugh got his start in radio at a small town station in Missouri. Conservative commentator Sean Hannity says talk radio will not be the same without him.
He started what would now become a new media revolution in this country, one that radically would permanently alter the media landscape in America. And by the way, paved the way for people like me.
Former Vice President Mike Pence chimed in today on the passing of Limbaugh.
I feel a personal indebtedness to him. Many people don't know that I spent about a decade in talk radio myself. I was inspired to go into conservative talk radio in the 1990s because of Rush Limbaugh.
Pence called Limbaugh the standard bearer for conservatism.
He was the anchor of conservatism. He gave voice to a movement.
Rush Limbaugh dead at 70. Houston, we have a problem. Power problems have gripped Texas after historic ice storms left millions in the dark in freezing temperatures. Dave Sampson is a rancher there.
This is clearly a storm of historic proportions. I mean, nothing in my lifetime comes close to this. The last time we saw temperatures this low was 1889.
Now the blame game for those blackouts is underway. Many are faulting green energy. Wind turbines froze in the storm, leading to cascading electrical issues.
If the Biden administration is going to try to eradicate fossil fuels in the United States, every state is going to constantly have challenges like what America has seen take place in Texas right now.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, Mark Morano's author of the book Green Fraud.
There have been warnings before about the over-reliance on these wind panels, especially in the cold, driven by fears of the climate crisis, not because, oh, this is great energy, let's add it. It was done for political and financial reasons.
Morano says bad energy policies are to blame for the role blackouts in Texas. President Biden moving the goalpost for when he thinks the masks can come off. Before he took office, he said this.
On the first day I'm inaugurated, I'm going to ask the public for 100 days to mask. Just 100 days to mask. Not forever, 100 days.
But last night in Milwaukee, he said this.
A year from now, I think that there'll be significantly fewer people having to wear masks.
Tomorrow, Mr. Biden will visit the Michigan Pfizer factory where the first doses of COVID vaccine were shipped out a month before he took office. When it comes to the controversy over reopening schools, mixed messaging from the White House. Here's correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
One analysis finds most U.S. schools are already open, but in many metro areas, there's a lack of consistency. If new CDC guidance relying on community spread were followed, nearly all schools would have to close. As the country looks to the White House for leadership, there's confusion in messaging. When it comes to K through 8, Vice President Harris tells NBC,
our goal is that it will be 5 days a week.
Earlier this month, the press secretary said the goal was for schools to be open at least 1 day a week, something the president now calls a miscommunication.
Mixed news on the economy today. First, the good. Retail sales up 5% from last month. Economist Gus Fouché.
This is very good news for the U.S. economy as consumer spending makes up about two-thirds of overall GDP in the United States.
Now, the not-so-good. If you lost your job during the pandemic.
A report by the McKinsey Global Institute predicts 20% of business travel won't come back 20% of workers will continue to work from home. This will impact businesses like hotels, restaurants, and stores in downtown areas. The Washington Post quotes a person who was part of the study saying many low-wage jobs in retail and food are just going to go away.
Correspondent Steve Futterman. South Carolina today passed one of the most pro-life measures in the country. The legislation bans virtually all abortions. Governor Henry McMaster signed it this afternoon. Legal challenges are expected. Trump Plaza in Atlantic City came crashing down in an implosion this morning. The 34-story former hotel and casino dissolved into a pile of debris shortly after 9 o'clock this morning. It is Ash Wednesday, don't you know? And it's looking a little different this year, as we hear from correspondent Deborah Rodriguez.
Smudged foreheads and blessings? It'll be DIY this Ash Wednesday, the first of the COVID-19 era. The Vatican has instructed church leaders to hold drive-through services and give out to-go baggies of ashes to bless and apply at home. For Catholics, today marks the start of the Lenten period leading up to Easter.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting, and still to come on the 5 o'clock report, vaccine mix-up in Pennsylvania. More reopenings in New York, and elections have consequences in Oneida County.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your family life weather forecast. The call for tonight, we'll have some starlight, but clouds will thicken up, and snow will arrive in central and eastern Pennsylvania, near and south of I-80 late. Could be an inch or so. Low temperatures, mostly teens, single digits for some parts of central New York. For tomorrow, snow will spread from south to north through the remainder of the region, continue into the night. Light accumulations for most, but amounts of snow could exceed 6 inches by tomorrow night. South of I-80 in central and eastern Pennsylvania, high tomorrow 20s. Snow or snow flurries will continue Friday with high temperatures in the 20s and low 30s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. We're checking the headlines where you live across New York and Pennsylvania next. Mass COVID vaccination sites are being set to open next month in Buffalo and Rochester. The National Guard will help administer the vaccines. Those sites should be able to vaccinate 1,000 people a day starting March 3rd. Pennsylvania's Health Secretary Allison Beam says some healthcare providers accidentally administered the second dose of the Moderna vaccine instead of the first.
It seems that the perfect storm of circumstances, an eagerness to get vaccine to residents, and incredible pent-up desire by the public to get this vaccine converged to bring us to the point which we are in today.
A total of 200,000 second doses were given out as first shots. Beam says the blunder could impact 120,000 vaccination appointments over the next couple of weeks. Good news for summer camps in New York. The governor says they can open up again when the weather warms up.
That doesn't happen until June, and we hope the current trajectory stays until June. But they can plan on reopening.
Starting next month, indoor family entertainment venues can reopen at 25% capacity. And in April, April 9th, outdoor amusement parks can open up again in New York. Two downstate Democrats want to strip the governor of his emergency powers. It's because of his handling over the COVID crisis in nursing homes. Teresa Sari lost her mom in March in a nursing home.
It's truly heartbreaking. You know, I have tried to keep it together emotionally. To hear this coming from him, I mean, almost a year later, the fact that he's still lying and covering his trail, it's insane. I cannot believe that we're going through this.
Sorry says all she wants to hear from the governor are the words, I'm sorry.
At least just sympathize with us. Try to have compassion. Feel how we feel. Don't go on air and say, who cares that they died? Because yes, we do care. And we do blame you.
The mother of two teenage girls who were harassed by Pennsylvania Representative Brian Sims says the Philadelphia Democrat does not deserve anyone's vote. Her words exactly. The girls were doxxed by Sims while they were praying outside a Planned Parenthood clinic 2 years ago. Sims, who is Pennsylvania's first openly gay lawmaker, announced earlier this week he's running for lieutenant governor. Well, it took more than 100 days to decide New York's 22nd district congressional race, and now two Oneida County election officials have resigned. Family Life's Tracy Lynn.
Yeah, the Republican Board of Elections Commissioner Rose Grimaldi submitting her resignation today. Caroline Cardone, the Democratic Elections Commissioner, turned in her departure plan on Tuesday. The State Board of Elections called the commissioners to leave their posts or else be fired. A series of errors were exposed during a three-month legal battle over disputed ballots in the election. Claudia Tenney was finally declared the winner and sworn in this month. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. With high-risk high school sports back in business in New York, school officials hope to have marching band and theater resuming operations very soon as well.
I think it's just a matter of making sure that you have the right spacing and setup.
Greece, New York School Superintendent Kathleen Groppman says she believes schools' arts programs can resume this spring if COVID cases continue their downward trend.
A musical, for example, we can work on with social distancing. If there is a problem, we can always stop and shut something down.
Right now, the state hasn't said whether it will ease restrictions when it comes to school arts programs in New York. Your nightly market report next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks were mixed today. While retail sales were higher than estimated, the Dow was up 92 points, the Nasdaq losing 82, and the S&P 500 down 1 point. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report.
Here's Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute.
The world is full of myths about money. Some of them can hit you right in the wallet if you're not careful. Here are some examples. First, don't be in a rush to pay off your mortgage because the interest deduction saves you money at tax time. Wrong. You have to pay about $3 in interest to get $1 taken off your tax bill. 3 for 1? I'll make that deal with you all day long. And this year, you may not even be able to itemize with the new higher standard deduction. Here's another myth. I don't make enough to save. Wrong again. The truth is, almost everyone can cut expenses enough to tuck away a few dollars a week. Start small and remember Zechariah 4:10. It tells us not to despise small beginnings.
Hey, need some help getting started with this? Well, connect with a MoneyWise coach at our website, which is moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
Pitchers and catchers report. Sonny Del Fiat reporting for duty.
Yeah, man, play ball, because they are reporting to their complexes in both Arizona and Florida. Position players expected to arrive over the weekend. The start of full squad workouts on Monday. Spring games will start at the end of the month. San Antonio Spurs are putting their season on hold after four players tested positive for COVID-19. The Spurs' next three games have been postponed as a result, including tonight's game with Cleveland. The Charlotte Hornets' next two games also postponed due to that contract tracing. They just played each other on Sunday. The ice storm and power outage across Texas creating havoc for teams. Tonight's Dallas Mavericks-Detroit Pistons game is postponed. Dallas Stars had their NHL game against Nashville postponed Monday and last night. Several college basketball games also impacted. There's some action, though. Pitt is battling North Carolina State right now in men's action. In women's action, University of Buffalo at home against Ball State. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolbiet.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Nice to see the sun in many areas today, but it didn't help our temperatures a whole lot. And we won't see that sun tomorrow as the next winter weather maker approaches, now bringing heavy ice to parts of East Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas. It's going to bring our region snow and probable snows for some, particularly for those of you in central and eastern Pennsylvania. The call for tonight, we'll have some starlight, but clouds will thicken up and snow will arrive in central and eastern Pennsylvania, near and south of I-80 late. Could be an inch or so. Low temperatures, mostly teens, single digits for some parts of central New York. For tomorrow, snow will spread from south to north through the remainder of the region, continue into the night. Light accumulations for most, but amounts of snow could exceed 6 inches by tomorrow night. South of I-80 in central and eastern Pennsylvania, high tomorrow 20s. Snow or snow flurries will continue Friday with high temperatures in the 20s and low 30s.
All right, shovels ready. Thank you very much, Kevin. Finally, a 90-year-old Seattle woman walked 6 miles through a foot of snow to get her first dose of the COVID vaccine. Fran Goldman scheduled her appointment last week, not knowing that a major winter storm was on the way. She made it, though, just 5 minutes late to that appointment.
I got my vaccination, and then I was told I had to sit and
wait 15 minutes to make sure there was no reaction. And I said, I'm delighted to sit.
I'm sure she was. She certainly earned it. Fran Goldman set out from her home Sunday and walked 3 miles to the Seattle Children's Hospital for her shot, and then 3 miles back home, a total of 6 miles in a foot of snow for that 90-year-old woman.
Why wouldn't someone give her
a ride
at least back home?
I don't get it, but she made it, and hopefully when she goes to get that booster shot, somebody will give her a ride.